Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Everybody give a big round of applause to Joey Harrington returning to the fan. 1080 the fan.
Hold on. Why am I giving a round of applause for returning when you guys were the ones who left?
Well, we're all returning.
Well,
we can't really applaud ourselves.
You haven't been on, and we have. So you are returning.
You weren't on Fridays either.
No, I know, but we've been back since you've been on.
But there are not any other days other than Friday.
Yeah, but
I'm
listen,
not sure if you knew that.
The only person returning right now is you.
It is a valid point. We've returned.
Yeah, we've already
returned. You already returned like earlier in this show. Yes, is that what you're saying? Because Sports Talk Radio doesn't exist on any other days other than Fridays. Friday afternoons
at 5:15 in Portland is the only Sports Talk Radio.
Well, at 3 o'clock we already
5:30.
We had our applause.
Yeah.
We had
a rousing applause. Better than yours, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, the people went wild.
Yeah.
Oh, as they should. I'm not going to lie. I've spent a couple weeks feeling a bit empty.
Inside. I know. You didn't know we were gone, did you? Were you prepared to do a hot take interview every Friday and then we just don't call you? Or did anybody contact you?
Well, one time there was some sort of conflict. It was like a duck basketball game maybe or something, and then like last week was Christmas or something. I don't know. I was just sitting by the phone and just got nothing, so I figured it was like, well, I guess they're not showing up.
It's like that Escobar meme. He's just sitting on the porch swing out in Central Oregon, just staring out at the apocalypse.
It's like when you're younger waiting on the girl to call.
Yeah, staring at the phone. Come on.
Well, I hate I don't know what to say. I mean,
don't talk. We don't need to talk about it.
It's not good.
What do you want to talk about? Like the Lions?
I don't know.
I mean, come on. What surprised you most? How about that question?
The nature of how it happened.
I think that's everybody.
We've all been part of teams, games where it's like it happens. Right? Like, literally, this happens to everybody. It sucked that it happened on the biggest stage after they had been the only undefeated team. Like, I don't know. Like, I still don't know. How many days out are we? Like, and it's still just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Well, and now, unfortunately, it becomes like, as you mentioned, everyone has these games. You do. But when you have this one, now we have to deal with the narrative. And I already hear it from Duck Fan, the national media, and, some of the national fan bases. I mean, the memes out there. Look, Oregon's got a swagger, and Lanning certainly puts himself up on the pedestal with some of the stuff. And so, when you make noise and you fall on your face, people are going to come for you. And so I think that makes it hard. But the narrative somehow that this team wasn't a championship level team, or that this team was a paper tiger, or none of what they did mattered. Yeah. That's the part that bothers me, because you don't go 13-0. You don't beat 3 of the 12 playoff teams, 11, because you were one of them, and then have a bad outing that certainly does not go your way, and you kind of get embarrassed and things spiral out of control in one half, and then somehow that's an indictment on everything that you are, everything that you've built. That's the problem that I have, is the sweeping judgment and throw everything away because of the way it went down.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard. Yeah. I mean, that's... you know, having worked in sports talk media for long enough, I mean, I'm sure you could count the number of times that any time something like this happens, that's immediately where it goes. Like for me, it was one of those things where, and I still don't even want to, I don't want to learn the guy's name, but number four, like it was so traumatic. It was like, what in the world? Who is that? Where did he come from? And how is he doing all, like, and it was almost like this, we were talking about it too afterwards. We went down 34-0 without turning the football over.
Yeah, it's true.
Not a fumble, not a pick six. Not a short field, it was just like, that was the baffling part is like, I don't know.
So here's
Go ahead.
Well, I think that, I mean, everything Suk said about the narrative, like you can't control the narratives. They're always going to be out there, whatever. We all know here that Oregon was really, really good and possibly the best team in the country outside of Ohio State. Now Ohio State has proven that they're the best. Okay. But I think it's just when you're that elite, like we thought Oregon was, I think there are some that think that you shouldn't get boat raced 34-0.5, no matter who you're playing. You know what I'm saying? Like you say everybody has these games, but do they if you're that good?
I mean, I would, and I don't have, you know, hard concrete, well, in September of 2019, but I would venture a guess that you can go back through all the Super Bowl champions, right? And look at a week where they lost, you know, 42-7 or, you know, 35-3. Like there are those games. And this is what we talked about quite a few times is this wasn't trying to get through an 11 game schedule and win the vote, you know, the AP poll and walk out with a national championship. This was trying to do something that only two teams in the history of football, college or NFL, had done, which is they had to go 16-0, right? This was an NFL schedule of a slog to be able to get to that point. And, you know, I think it is a bit, there's two things. One, I think people enjoy jumping on Oregon for a whole, you know, host of reasons. One, and you know, like we've talked about, we've never won a national championship. We are not part of that club. Like we are still trying to be there. And there's a tinge of jealousy, you know, from the other schools about what we, you know, may or may not get or the favoritism. Anyway, that's one thing. Number two, what was I going to say? What was number two? People are making this big deal about Oregon not being good enough. Well, let's go back to, you know, a couple weeks ago where, you know, SMU didn't belong and Indiana didn't belong. Then Tennessee gets absolutely boat raced by this Ohio State team. And then Georgia loses to Notre Dame and Alabama loses. Like, it feels like this is the narrative of the moment, right? People are never going to talk about the SEC not being good enough this year, which they weren't. They weren't as good as the Big Ten this year. So that's not going to be a narrative. First it was Indiana and SMU didn't belong, and now it's Oregon falling on their face. So I think that, you know, it's a whole combination of things that we just happened to play the championship game in the quarterfinals, and that sucked. And we played horrible.
Yeah, to your point, I was looking at the national championship game. You know that we haven't had a national championship game in college football decided by less than two touchdowns since 2018.
Yeah, it's been a while. I remember LSU beat the brakes off Clemson. Yeah. TCU got absolutely drilled.
It was like 58-3 or
65-7.
Yeah.
Georgia over TCU. Last year, Michigan beat Washington 34-13. Georgia over Alabama 33-18.
Yeah, so you're telling me that TCU team that got all the way to the national championship game was a horrible, horrible football team and didn't deserve it. Like, it happens. And it, it sucks, but it happens.
And to your point, that was and we said it going into the game. Now, I thought Oregon was going to win. I thought the quarterback was going to be the difference, but I still didn't have a great feel about it. I didn't bet it. But I did say I thought that was the national championship game. I think whoever won that, I just was going to win the whole thing. It's just we played it in the quarters as opposed to getting it in the championship game. And the other one, like I thought about, was when you mentioned the NFL, I remember the Denver Broncos the year with Peyton Manning that had the second best offense in NFL history. I think they were averaging like 37 a game. They were 13-3, and they ran into a Seattle Seahawks team. And what was that, 40? It was like 45-3, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that the Denver Bronco offense was bad. It just, on that particular day, for what, opening snap goes over your head and, you know, thanks for coming. The ball starts rolling downhill. So, unfortunately, that does become the narrative. And like you said, I do think people like to hate on Oregon. I saw one on Twitter where it was funny. It was the Simpsons meme where everyone's gathering with the torches from the Simpsons movie. And it was all of college football Twitter uniting to hate on Oregon. And, you know, and some of that is jealousy. But I do think that Oregon brings a lot of that on themselves because Oregon puts themselves out there with that we're mighty different and the duck riding around in a circle in the Big Ten and bringing a duck to media day. And, you know, they certainly like to poke the bear and put themselves out there. And when you do that, that does come with a certain element of people love to see the, I don't know if you want to call it upstart or the cocky kid. Everyone loves to see that kid punched in the face. And that's just, I don't know, that comes with the territory, but I don't think Oregon shies away from it. In fact, I think they embrace it.
Yeah, no way. I agree. It feels like we need to go to commercial. Maybe I just don't want to talk about this anymore.
Did you ever have a college or pro, did you ever have a rematch with a team and that happened? Team you beat the first time, and then you probably did in pros many times.
No, I never beat anybody twice in the pros. Come on now. I barely beat anybody once.
But, you know, the second time, I don't know. It's just weird. They got manhandled up front on both lines. And it's
okay. Okay. There's two things that we need to talk about when we come back from the break, because it feels like we need to.
You're doing a great job of producing. Yes.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well,
two things
coming up next with Joey Harrington on The Fan. All right. We're back with Joey Harrington. Two things that he teased. We have to talk about two things about Oregon's loss.
What happened? And I'm going to ask you, Soup, what happened at right tackle?
That was really odd to me, because the tackle play all year since the Boise State game, that's what
has been spectacular.
Yeah, that's against Boise State when you watch it. And this was the part we talked about that was frustrating to me, was Boise State wasn't doing anything super exotic. A lot of times they were just beating the two tackles. And I can understand the interior, but the tackles have been rock solid. And I'll say this, Ohio State has good, I don't think they have great edge players. Sawyer is good. Tui Malo, I'm butchering his name, 44, Tui Tumalau, right? Both very, very good players, but we saw Oregon handle them. And for whatever reason, Ohio State got pressure just rushing their front four and sometimes rushing their three. And
Sawyer was an All-American. I mean, I don't think there was a shot when Oregon was, I don't think I saw a broadcast shot where 33 was not in the picture.
Yes. And sometimes
that was surprising.
It was kind of shocking to me, to be honest with you. And I was kind of going through and I was reading different stuff. And, you know, he was the guy that kind of started the Michigan ruckus with the flag. He was the one that was ripping the flag away. And, you know, some people just said that, for better or worse, lit a fire, and that one of the things about him was he's physically impressive, but sometimes didn't always show up in the biggest spots. And he did against Tennessee and he did against Oregon. For whatever reason, someone lit a fire under that guy's ass. And he's a very, very good player. He's an NFL player, but he played like a Bosa brother against Oregon. And that was one thing that didn't happen in the first game. And it certainly happened in this one. I thought him and Caleb Downs absolutely destroyed Oregon's game plan, and they did not do that in the first game.
Yeah. Okay. So for all of this horribleness that we have been watched and have been talking about, There was still a moment in the second half where, you know, we scored going into halftime. We scored coming out. We stopped them, and we had the ball. So it was 34-14. Yeah. It was second and 10 on our, maybe our own 20, right, wherever we were, on our own, in our own territory. And they ran essentially, you know, a type of like a smash concept with a, you know, a short square out on the inside. And Dylan looked at Tez on the underneath route, and he thought about it. And then he held it to try and throw the corner route. He took a sack and went to third and 17. Had he thrown, like I have gone back so many times, had he thrown the quick out and taken the six, now we're third and four, and we can, you know, maybe Tez makes a miss, maybe we, you know, and now we're moving again. And that was the momentum. Like if we go and get another one, now it's 34-21. And I know it's a pipe dream, but it's like, God, like that, for as horrible as it was, I can come back to that moment and say, that felt like the turning point for me.
Because Ohio State scored, is Oregon had gotten the stop and gotten the ball back, but then when they punted on that, then Ohio State went down and scored. And that was the 41. And once they got to 41, there wasn't even enough possessions. Like you started to look at it, like they're going to get the ball back four more times. There's just not enough possessions to win the game. Right. And I really thought Gabriel and Joey Galloway mentioned this at the half. I thought Ohio State going to that kind of that 4-2 with the three safety look and basically having Caleb Downs roam the middle of the field, and the fact that Oregon couldn't run the ball to run them out of that safety look, I thought it really caused Gabriel problems. That was, I thought that was one of the worst games he played from a recognition standpoint. He has been really good this year. Of playing on time and getting rid of the ball and making snap decisions. And I don't think I've seen him hold the ball quite like that all year. And to me, when you know this better, to me, when a quarterback holds the ball, it just means he's confused. He doesn't understand where he's going with it, and he's overthinking things, or he's not taking the checkdowns. And so when I saw him holding the ball, obviously the O-line didn't play well. I mean, they didn't play well at all. But I think some of those sacks were he sitting in the pocket waiting to see something.
I was literally saying, as you were saying that, I was like, you know what? I think we just answered points one and two. Like we answered those two things. I think it's a chicken, you know, chicken or egg. Did Dylan's inability to get the ball out of his hands create situations for the tackles to hang on, you know, try and hang on too long and put them in a bad spot, or did the tackles then, you know, or did the tackles play put Dylan in a spot where he felt uncomfortable and then couldn't make decisions like that? But between those two things, that was, well, and their inability to run the football. Okay, between those three things, that was what it was for the offense.
Yeah, if you go back and you watch the first game that they played, one, Ohio State tried to play man coverage and Oregon cooked them. Ohio State did not play man coverage this game. They played a two-high safety look, even, like I said, three safeties. Evan Stewart wasn't in the game, and he was such a difference maker in the first one because he was a guy that could take the top off of the defense and make him respect it. Two, Oregon ran the ball really effectively. They didn't run the ball at all. I think if you take out the sacks, even, I think they ran for like 20 something yards. And then that leads to, like you said, holding onto the ball. And you go back and watch that first game, Ohio State got some pressure. They just never got there, but they were close a couple times, but Gabriel was getting rid of the ball and making them pay. Well, if you hold onto the ball, like you said, for a half a count to a second more, you know, people always look at the analytics of stuff, and the difference between like getting rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds and 2.9 seconds or 3.2 seconds in football can be an eternity. That's the difference between a guy reaching out and brushing your jersey and a guy reaching out and grabbing you and throwing you to the ground.
Bingo. Hey, can we talk about something good?
Yeah, sure. Let's do something.
Tell us.
Tez Johnson is amazing, and not as a football player. I mean, he's a fantastic football player, but like, you want to talk about, you know, we've talked about the national, the narrative about Oregon, you know, the flash, and but you still, you know, can't win it. I'm sorry, if I got people like Tez Johnson out there representing our university, I'm feeling pretty dang good about it. You know, if I've got a bright spot that I'm taking away from that game, it is watching that young man play, compete, and how he handles himself on and off the field.
They did a good feature on him on the pregame. I don't know if you saw it. Of course, we've seen that feature a million times, but it's about the Knicks family and his relationship there. He's a good kid. He's a good egg, that one. Well, that's good. Okay, now what else is good? Next year good?
I don't know. I mean, sure, we'll be fine, but, you know.
Well, see, yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine, too. They're in good hands. You have a good program.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It felt like an opportunity.
Dude, that thing was teed up. It really was. Now, they ran into a buzzsaw. I think they just got a bad draw. I really think I'm with Soup. That was the championship game. At the same time, I just wonder in 5 or 10 years we look back and go, man, out of all these chances that Oregon's had, because you kind of retool every year, right? I mean, like,
it's a reset every year.
Every year, it depends on what transfers you get, maybe a hit with a Caleb Downs type player or a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder in 5 to 10 years if we don't look back and go, man, that was it. That was the chance right there. This one, it hurts. It stings.
I don't think I'll look back at it that way. Because of the fact that they would have had to win 16 games, right? They still had to win 3 more games.
Yeah. Well, 2 more.
Right? Well, this one, quarterfinal, semifinal, championship, right? The one that, you know, and so, all right, the 01 team, the 2010 team, the 2014 team, was it the 14 team or the 15, or whatever March's last year was, I always get that confused. And then this team, which one do you look back on and say, man,
I feel like this one. I really do. I feel like this one.
Well, the Auburn one was,
it was pretty close.
You were right there.
See, the 2010, that's the one I compare this to the 2010.
Yeah.
And I say, man, that's the 2010 is the one where we should have had it.
Well, you almost did. And you're right. Here, you almost didn't. But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be right. Because the 2015 one might be a little bit more like this one in a sense that, hey, you know, Ohio State was probably the better team in the end, right? Like they were that year, and I think they were this year. So maybe the way they got, you know, the way we talked about this yesterday, but maybe the way Oregon got beat up in that game makes you feel a little better in a sense that maybe they weren't going to win this tournament. Maybe they weren't going to go 16-0. I mean, they got manhandled, dude. Yeah. So I just
don't know if anyone else was going to manhandle him. I don't know if anyone else was capable of manhandling.
But no matter where you meet Ohio State in the field. I don't know if they're beating that team.
The thing that I was talking yesterday about, like, what was the missing piece? Because I think this is a championship level team. And he's ran into a buzzsaw, but you've proven on any given day you can beat them. And just not in this one. But I looked at Caleb Downs and I looked at Jeremiah Smith, and I thought they were gravitational players. And Oregon has had those guys over the years. I think Kalodinati was a gravitational player. You know, I think some of the backs that they've had have been that way. Marcus was that way. I mean, they do happen. It's not like Oregon doesn't get them. But Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs were the two best players on the field, and they were absolute game changers. And as good as this Oregon team was, I don't think they had one of those guys on either side of the ball. And so when you look at these recruiting classes they're putting together where you're getting these 5-star kids, to me, the next evolution of Oregon, if there is one, to win one, is to have that. And like that Moore kid, who's the number one receiver, and then the McNutt, the kid that was going to go to Ohio State, they talk about these kids like they do Jeremiah Smith, like they do Caleb Downs, starters from day one, true freshmen coming in. And maybe that's the final piece, is putting together a roster like this one where there's really no weaknesses, and then you add in one or two gravitational players, and maybe that's the difference that eventually gets you over the hump.
Maybe we should have just won it my year. Maybe they should have put us against Miami.
Oh, my God, you
know, yes. We would have beat them. Then we would not.
Do you have any eligibility left?
No, and I actually don't have any physical ability left, so that's like a different, like, eligibility and physical ability, neither one are.
I want to ask you that, though. Anymore. Like, your team, which was phenomenal, and you should have had the right to go play Miami. Do you, because Miami had those guys. You both were great teams, not a lot of weaknesses. Miami had gravitational players. Do you think you had, you were one. I mean, do you think you had 2 or 3 guys on that team, or were you just a really good collection of talent?
I think that, and I'm trying to think, I think Rashad Bowman was that type of player, the type of play, you know, I think of a guy who could make a play and change a game, right? I don't know. I mean, no, we did not have the collection of players that that team did. I mean, we've had this conversation, and in my opinion, that was the greatest. The one that was that, yeah, probably that team. That was the greatest team in college football history. Yeah,
it's really good.
That being said, I still truly believe all we needed was a shot, right? If we play him 10 times, you know, do we lose 8 of them? We lose 9 of them? I don't know. But all we needed was one, right? In the same way that Craig Krenzel just needed one.
Yeah. Or Arizona State against Texas.
It's one shot.
Of course, they didn't win, but
came close.
Yeah.
And then we're not having this conversation because we already got one hanging on the wall, right?
And that's the crappy part is in this system, you would have had your chance.
Yeah, that's true.
You would have had an opportunity to go prove it. In fact, under the old system, the two best teams in this tournament right now are Notre Dame and Ohio State, and neither one of them would be in.
How about that?
Yeah. This Ohio State team that may end up, you know, where people saying, well, this is one of the best Ohio State teams of all time. They would have never had a chance to even play for a national championship.
And nobody would have even said they were deserving of being in because they lost the Michigan game.
We would have just dismissed them and ripped them off and whatever.
So it would have been like Oregon, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Texas.
I like that. You guys should have won. Let's go back to the 4-team playoff. Can we just hit the rewind button and go
back
to the 4-team?
Well, we did say it would be harder.
Yeah,
this is going to 12, it's harder because you got to beat more elite teams. The quest continues, J. Joseph Harrington. Hopefully it's a great 2025 for you. How was the holiday? Everything okay over there? The kids get everything from Santa?
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. January 1st sucked.
Fantastic.
Wah, wah, wah.
Screw Santa. Screw Scantus. Yeah, 2025 sucks already.
Yeah. Well, and Duck basketball didn't look very good last night.
No, I didn't.
Maybe we could talk about the volleyball team.
Or? Yeah, it goes. Yeah, the volleyball team's good, right?
How's softball, the golf team?
I don't know.
Golf team still good?
Track and field.
I think so. And field.
There you go.
All right.
I don't know.
We'll talk to you. I'm sorry. You're so sad.
I am.
I'm sad with you.
Not really, though.
No, I am. I'm very sad. No, I don't. No, I didn't want Oregon to lose that way. Come on.
Fair.
We'll talk to you next week.
That makes me happy.
We'll be here. Yeah, we'll be here. Okay. I promise. I love you.
All right.
Hang in there. Okay. That's the great Joey Harrington. Ah, so sad.
By the way, I had to look it up just for my own. I had to be reminded that Miami team.
Yeah.
Ed Reed, Andre Johnson, Brian McKinney, Clinton Portis, DJ Williams, Jeremy Shockey, Jonathan Vilma, Mike Rumpf, Philip Buchanan, Antrell Roll, Vince Wilfork, Willis McGahee. Should I keep going?
Yes.
I mean, it's just.
I want you to keep going. And then Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey back there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Ken Dorsey at one point, I think, was the winningest quarterback in college football history.
Well, not because of Ken Dorsey.
Not because of Ken Dorsey. But he is right. The back-to-back, Ohio State got him. Craig freaking Krenzel.
They beat him.
Got him.
I've got the latest on Luigi, the handsome healthcare murder perp.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the latest.
Hey!
That's coming up next in the club on The Fan.